Good morning again. This is Jason Nemeril. You know what? I don't know what to call this thing anymore because since I've made the switch to Opus and it went very well, I'm still looking at different ways to accomplish this, how to publish this recording. Opus is really wonderful. I like it. I'm thinking about tires. I had to change the tire. The last big trip I made, I think it was because it was just rubbing against something that's in the way of the tire. Always been a constant problem with this car. Ever since I banged it up a little bit, the front tire, well, the front frame got bent, which tore up the tubing for the air conditioning, which I haven't done anything about, just don't care. The rear tire, I'm trying to figure out if it's the rear tire that's having problems. It's rubbing up against, it looks like it's rubbing up against the termination of the springs back there. And I don't really have an adequate way to work on that or to fix it. It hasn't been very long since the tire was changed, so I don't really know exactly what happened there. Regardless, I'm going through tires, or I went through one tire, and I haven't done anything to stop it from happening to the next one, which will at the very least eliminate the possibility that it's maybe the front frame that's rubbing up against the tire and causing these problems. It really does. To me, it really looks like it's part of the spring in the back, and it's like, oh, how do you fix that? I don't know what really happened there. I don't know if somebody changed my tire and some little bit, some little spacer that was supposed to keep the back tire off of the back spring went away or something happened to it to cause it to have this problem. I don't know how long it takes for it to become a problem. If it takes a while and the tires basically wear out, I'm not going to get weird about it. Just chalk it up to regular tire wear. However, anyway, I had put two new tires on the front in preparation for something happening. And it did. And anyway, but that was what was coming to my mind while I was sitting there being very quiet, not saying much. I don't know. Things are having to change. I was using the archive.org for these recordings. I like kind of the simplicity of how I loaded things up into different places. I have the possibility of turning these Opus recordings, which I'm going to start keeping on my back locally, either on the Gopher server, but I would really like to transfer everything over to Synchronet BBS and make these things work a little better. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for. I'm thinking that I might also want to pull together kind of an automated podcasting mechanism. You know, actually work out the RSS feed. That means I don't have to necessarily work up what the what the description should be, but, and I can just keep the actual name. I can actually have the recorder that I use, so I've always used. It's been improved over the years. Opus just became a new feature to it. Be able to put the ultimate terminal name of the recording on the through the recorder. There is no mechanism, as far as I'm aware of, to do kind of a description that way. It'll have to be done when it's uploaded to the to the system. As I recall, the FTP server, which I have not really tested this out quite yet, the FTP server can throw you out an HTTP index page. It's nice that way. That part's been automated. And I need to look and see if I can rig together, you know, don't have to do a whole lot, some JavaScript to create a podcast attached to it. That would be kind of a something else to add to Synchronet BBS to just give it one more piece of functionality, and you don't really need to make changes to it. It'll just end up having a short description, which is what it was designed to have in the first place. It's all about retrofitting older technology, which is the BBS system, with newer functionality without adding anything extra to it. It becomes a different view. And that's kind of what I want to do, especially with these audio files. You should be able to specify I'm already starting to wander off from this. To be able to just point to a certain file area, and all of a sudden there will be, it's not going to be a really fantastically exotic RSS feed, but one specifically for podcasts. And you can stretch it out eventually to just being, you know, text files and stuff like that. I'm needing to make changes to the Gopher server that they've created in there to actually expose the text file section as well. Right now it's done for files, for messages, which is all well and good. It might be fun to add Gemini and Spartan to it. Spartan's basically a non-TLS Gemini. Anyway, so these would be fun little features to clamp onto there and to actually release out to the main branch at some point, when one feels like it's in pretty good shape to put it out there. Anyway, so I'm trying to think of what else to say. The whole thing is the wonderful thing that SBBS can do for you is it already has a Telnet interface and a an authentication and authorization system built into it that you can clamp onto. And if these things are somewhat exposed to, are can be served up through different protocols, not just Telnet. Anyway, so those are all the things that I've kind of been working on. The way I use Wiki, and you know, to be really honest, the whole Wiki universe was an interesting experiment. It got morphed into a content management service, and nobody really uses it as its original thing. You know, it was really an experiment of just being as open and as simple as humanly possible for people. And most people don't use it. And it just did never become anything interesting. Although, some of the products are still out there by kind of the diehards. And I use one because it works really good through all the firewalls and things like that. I'll probably always keep that one up, but I probably won't actually publish it. Well, I already have. There's no reason to stop. Nobody else uses it except me. We're just whomping up something. I've looked at trying to do one that'll actually work on the little computer too, but I need to have something that my Proxmox box needs to do. So it hasn't really been all that important to make that stuff work that way. Very mature, very, very good, looks good. I don't point things to it particularly. Like I said, nobody else uses it, but it's there and it's available. Sometimes I think I'm going to change my front page and maybe just ignore the fact that you can do registrations on it. And, you know, just leave it as a convenient place for me to dump information that I think about, that I collect. And people can surely look at it, you know. And I like the fact that it's not sequestered in a database particularly. That's one bad thing about Synchronet BBS is that it really ended up having its own database that's not human readable particularly. I don't know if it is or not. You know, it just wasn't a thing because people were, you know, this thing grew up from the DOS days. And in the DOS days, you really didn't have databases there. DOS was more of a personal computer thing. And you could run a database there, but it really wasn't, you know, it really wasn't this killer app. The real killer app for the PCs was spreadsheets. In the beginning, it was Lotus 1-2-3. As life went on, it became something else. In fact, I need to look at Lotus 1-2-3 because I know that they had clamped on kind of a DOS-ish you know, word processor, stuff like that. You know, what was best at the time was Turbo Pascal. You would actually program in Turbo Pascal, and it actually had a built-in a graphics system that was DOS-based. Wasn't a GUI. About the time people were starting to get interested in GUIs, that was when Windows 3.1 came out and just wiped them all out, you know. Everybody had to either convert to mouse-based, non-textual, prettied-up way of interfacing with anything. And, you know, I don't blame them. It really is. It really is something that makes it far more appealing to people. But I'm kind of a DOS guy. I enjoyed DOS at the time. let me tell you, I'm really grateful that, you know what, I can't even say that. There is quite a community around keeping up. They call them command line interface, command line tools, so you can do things that way without having to pull out your big GUI to do it. It works really for me because I am a guy that uses Secure Shell all the time. And although you can shove a graphical user interface through Secure Shell, X forwarding, that's really been obfuscated by other technologies, honestly. I was a guy that did DOS. Even when I had Windows, I would often just drop back to DOS, you know, back in the days of Windows 3.1, 95, 98. I was much more a DOS fella. I would only stay in Windows for, you know, applications and games that really think, and I'm not a gamer at all. I just don't find myself. I don't find that I'm dexterous enough, either of finger or of mind, to do games. I really like Age of Empires, the original Age of Empires, but only playing by myself on really easy modes, because it just, well, you know, when it first came out, and when we had off time on one of the jobs I had on the boat, we would often play this game, and one of the guys was really, really good at it. He had a strategic mind, much more than I do. I'm to be honest, I think I'm kind of a plotter. I see deep, but I see deep and slow, and strategy doesn't really, at least real-time strategy, the RTS games, are really not my thing. I'm much more like turn-based. I was a real fan of Sid Meier's Civilization. That also ran on just pretty much stock DOS. That was the first rendition of it. I never got into the later versions of it, although I've done FreeCiv, which I guess is kind of it's a bit of an updated version of it. The sun's just now coming up, and it's pretty beautiful. We're supposed to get rain at some point. There's probably this week we're going to be getting rains again. When there's a hurricane, we get some rain. I just got passed by a state police fella, and I've always been really lucky to have been going at least pretty close to the speed limit here. I don't think these guys along these back roads really care much about the speed limit. I think they're much more worried about other things. I don't know what. Anyway, so I just made the turn onto the Melrose Highway, and it's either a Grady school bus or a Melrose school bus I just passed. Anyway, so yeah, it says these are the things. So I've been working on the BBS, it actually makes use of older technology that people just aren't working on anymore. Especially with ANSI art. Now, I was never in the ANSI art scene. That was a big thing. That was probably what kept BBS going after a lot of people were able to get on the internet. And you have to understand the level of people. It took a little bit of effort and knowledge and things like that to actually get yourself to a BBS. most of the computers back at the time, you had to buy a separate item called a modem, and you would have to rig that up yourself. You'd have to do all the settings and things like that. Then you'd have to go through a lot of trouble to get on BBSs, and sometimes you have to call long distance. In my world, you had to, because, you know, there was just not enough calls for there was not enough BBS users for some utility to give you kind of what was considered to be kind of a trunk data line. It's your local exchange, your local telephone exchange, to get you what would be considered pretty cheap BBS, long distance BBS access. So you'd have to just call with long distance voice, which was quite expensive at the time. Now it's almost given away like water. You know, a lot of people hardly use their phones as cell phones, telephones. Most people don't even have telephones anymore because it still costs just as much as it ever did. And other things just are cheaper. And they usually just throw in long distance. Just, you know, it's not even a thing anymore. Anyway, so Synchronet comes with stock artwork in it. And one of the first things you do as soon as you put up your own is you try to personalize it, make it different, do something different with it. Right now, I haven't really gotten to the point to where I'm really doing anything very different with it. I'm getting there, though. A big amount of text files. Mostly my own. I did grab a whole bunch from other sources to stick onto the Gopher. I have a separate Gopher server still, which is accessible through HTTP I don't have Gemini rigged. I could probably get Gemini rigged now, since now I actually have a good. A good and working Let's Encrypt client. There's one that actually comes pretty easily with Synchronet BBS. It really is kind of the kitchen sink of trying to meld a bulletin board system with modern sensibilities. And it really does a pretty good job. It really, you know, it does. And it really is the only one that's really all that good at it. There's a few that are trying to do that. I also like the fact that it's got a web server, because I kind of don't know if I want to call it my main web server, but it is. The web pages that I used to serve for a very, very long time, and that I occasionally add to now, the bulletin board system can output that. So it's really, you know, it's really quite nice. It reminds me of the old days when I first got started. I used THTTPD, which was, its mascot was Bill the Cat from the old Bloomfield cartoons. I'm really the old Bloom County comics, which really, really dates me. Who did Bloom County? Berkeley Breathed, which I really liked. He was a good guy, and put out a lot of interesting stuff. Anyway. you can tell I'm getting older. I bring up things that are really dated from when I was young. I was always enamored with somewhat older things when I was young. So I didn't keep up with the modern stuff. Like they say, oh, you're such an age. You knew all the 80s music. And my basic answer is no. I said, most of the music that I listened to was predominantly from the 70s. And I enjoyed the early 70s music the best. I found that the most compelling. Late 60s, early 70s, when people were really experimenting and it was really interesting. People don't experiment anymore. Everything is very standardized. You're not going to see, you know, every once in a while there will be a little hiccup of something new and different, but by and large, not really. It's really sad. Anyway, and I know that stuff all came out of drugs, free love, and all kinds of different things, but people were so creative with their music back then. And creative with their ideas and their thinking. It was really kind of a generational thing. I am probably one of the youngest hippies, and I'm not really a hippie, but was really looking at what hippies produced and what came out and finding some interesting value to it. I find myself really enamored with that. I don't know if God put me in the position I was in so that I could still play around with the tail end of the hippies. That's why I'm a real fan of the Internet Archive. Not so much for the Wayback Machine, although I really appreciated the Internet, the beginnings of the Internet. That's why I like BBS, is because they came kind of from the part that I liked the most was the late 70s, the early 80s, when I was a teenager. And that was a good thing. Before the Internet just became this package thing that you could just plug a cable into and it would basically work. I liked the early Internet back when everybody would like run a web server on their home computer, basically. Just set aside a home computer. That was what a BBS was. It usually wasn't this big, huge, monstrous like a Unix machine, although some of them were run on Unix machines. Most of the BBSs were run by just people in their garage or their back room or wherever, and with a phone line, usually just one phone line or two, mostly just one, and they would get to that. Before the Internet became the World Wide Web, there was other ways of accessing. You still can, but, you know, almost nobody knows about those ways. And some of these guys who used these phone lines would get kind of an Internet connection, either through an ISDN line or DSL when these things cost a lot or weren't really available or more often than not too technically tricky for a lot of people. There were different groups of people. There was there was the one group of people that couldn't grok this, couldn't really make it work, and they were part of one group. And if you wanted to get online, as they said at the time, which was a BBS or something like that, most of these BBSs eventually morphed into small mom and pop internet service providers, and that's how people got on. If you got big enough that you had a BBS that had 4 or 5 phone lines, you would stop doing your local service, just turn it into something that would get you onto the internet at the time, which was Gopher. The World Wide Web was there. Telnet was a big thing. You would telnet into other people's systems. FTP was huge. To go out and to be able to, you know, because the whole BBS thing was storing files, and you could download your files without, you know, and you would do it from a local node, that it wouldn't cost you a lot of long distance money to do it. But that was, you know, and it's really interesting to see kind of the progression of how these things went. FTP, to a large degree, is dead now, just because you can do something much more flexible. You can do the same activity much more flexibly with just a web browser. So it didn't become really important to do anything else. If you were doing something automated, FTP made some sense. Now that's not even necessary either. You know, you can do these things just with a web server and a web browser. They've worked all that stuff out. All right. You know, my poor car here, I don't know how much longer this thing's really going to work. Sam thinks he's going to get the other car, and I said, I don't think so, because I think I'm pretty much going to have to use his car to make up for this car, even though it doesn't get very good gas mileage. Anyway, so to a certain extent, I make enough money that gas mileage isn't that big of a deal, although I intend to use this car up. And then I'll just sell it or give it away to somebody who wants to figure something out with it. That's usually what I do with the old cars that I get rid of. Anyway, so yeah, my thing is I've been trying to use one of my old laptops. I've got this old laptop that I got in Oklahoma City when I was there, and it wasn't too old at the time, although it was 10 years old, but I got it for like $35. And I've been trying to get DOS working on it, because you can actually still get the DOS drivers for a lot of the equipment on it. It's got some nice doodads on it. You know, it's got a sound card. It was quite the Cadillac laptop in 2005 when it came out. So now it's almost 20 years old. But it's good for DOS, but I haven't gotten DOS loaded on it. For some reason, I'm just struggling with trying to get it done. Sometimes I think it's God saying, quit going down this road, you silly man. But now I've kind of been thinking about, there's DOSBox. It's called, actually, the one I want to use is DOSBox X, and it works on an operating system called Haiku, which is it was kind of a very early Windows competitor. I'm trying to think if it was like a Windows 95 sort of a thing from that time period. Might have been. But I think it was already mostly dead by then. I think it was more of a Windows 3.1, and Windows 95 just kind of walked right past it. But it wasn't trying to simulate Windows. It was different. And it was really good. It's really quite good. J. just made for one person to use, so it kind of felt a lot like DOS. And it's been updated a bit. I mean, it's not trying to be actual competition or anything. It's just from a bunch of people who really liked BIOS, and it became Haiku when it kind of went, and they did an open source version of it. I don't think BIOS was ever open sourced, but people jiggered with it, and it worked okay. So anyway, they've got DOSBox X for Haiku, which will work really well for me. I would much rather just have DOS, but I haven't gotten that to work to make some of this ANSI art that I'd like to do. Most of the good ANSI art software is totally DOS-based, so you tend to use DOS to make it work. Some people have tried to do more updated things, and it's really kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's all that great. Regardless, you can make your ANSI art with this old stuff, which is really what the best tools were built for DOS. So you do DOS. The BBS world was really a DOS world. There was some Windows and some other like OS X BBSs, but DOS really was king of these. But it was pre-internet, you know. Some of them had the ability or had snap-on ability to kind of do things through to do things over the internet through a network card to do packet-based stuff, but only a few were, and those things really kind of were trying to, I don't know, be almost competitive with the internet. And once the internet got easier to use and easier to work with, most of the people who played with BBSs moved on to doing websites. I kind of was one of those. I really never could get into BBSs because I just couldn't justify at the time, you know. We were just scraping by, Lisa and I, and we had little bitty kids, and it's like this was something that was put together by people who had more resources and were a little bit older and a little more established. So my timing was bad. I was more the website guy at the beginning. I got my first actual internet connection. I have been able to dial into the internet for a long time. And I've been playing around with not Linux itself. I've been playing around with Minix and with kind of DOS-based Unix kind of, what am I trying to say? Unix kind of utilities, mostly DOS-ish things, or things that you would call into, and it would present you with, like, what was one of the big ones? Pine. So you could do emailing. And it had a little bit of World Wide Web, really early World Wide Web, very primitive sort of stuff, and you could use it that way. Anyway, I did that for a friend. One of my buddies was who put me on to my first technical job with Petroleum Geoservices, PGS. Floating around in boats in the Gulf of Mexico and then off the Bight of Benin in West Africa. I did that for a few years. Kind of fed my adventure gene. I think I only have one or two of them. My daughter, Brenna Jelaine, has done some much more interesting things like that. I think Skigray's the first year to go do some stuff. I think it's going to be in South America, which I don't think she's ever done in South America before. She's done Korea. She's done China. She's done a little bit of Haiti. She's done Vermont. And she was up in Vermont for quite a while, a few years, maybe 3 or 4 years. Anyway, and had just cool adventures. I guess I somewhat encourage my kids to have practical vocations, practical employment. My son Caleb is probably going to be a handyman at a farm. My oldest daughter's been working on this farm for a while now as a volunteer. Anyway, and my continuous variable transmission does a whole lot better when I'm driving more than 65 miles an hour. The kind of place it's in works better there. If I'm below that, it gets crappy and faulty. If you get really below that, it's okay again. Anyway, so that's why I tend to drive a little fast. But that's what the back roads are for. Anyway, so I'm looking to get a kind of a DOS laptop or a DOS something pulled together so that I can do, and it's kind of a one-off. I don't know if I'm going to do a lot of it. There are some BBSs. There's still a BBS called Mystic BBS, which although it has certainly has the basic functionality of the BBSs of the time, it more specializes in being an ANSI art BBS. It kind of specializes in that functionality. That's really good that way. I'd play a few games. I didn't really get involved with the chat too much, although I'm getting involved with the chat now. I'm doing more of kind of the networked bulletin board stuff. I put up stuff on the bulletin board, you know. It's kind of the electronic version of nailing the 94 theses up on the church door, or putting up the lost puppy signs on. Is this me, or is this some? Or they put down some kind of fertilizer? The smell. I think I'm burning another tire out, which is kind of a newer tire. I don't want to burn this one out so fast. But it's getting to the point, this car is getting to the point that it's like, you know, I don't want to invest a lot of time and effort into it. It's done a really good job for me. Anyway, so yeah, okay. I might get out the old laptop tonight, put Haiku on it, and then throw DOS BBS X on it, and then put up one of the old ANSI art software packages, you know, AcidDraw. There was one that was really made for Synchronet back in the day. I'll put that one on there so that we could put up some nice stuff, although that's not really necessary in that the BBS is built-in service is really pretty good at building up like menus and stuff like that. They really haven't come up with something really good on that matter that does the ANSI art. Probably because Synchronet really doesn't lend itself It can show you AFC art, but only at certain places. You know, it was really never meant to be kind of a gallery of AFC art, although I'm sure the functionality is in there on some level. It was really more old-timey, and it's really gone off in its own niche place. Anyway, so I'm going to be doing that. You know what I've been looking at is the next vehicle that I might want to replace this thing with. I've been looking at tuk-tuks. It's kind of a covered motorcycle, you know, and it's used in other countries. It's not an American thing. When they get brought to America, it's mostly for niche, you know. Oh, I was gonna do a little food truck, but I expanded. I needed a bigger food truck. I used to have this little one that was basically kind of a converted motorcycle. And it's like, you know, I think I would like to get one of those. It's kind of got a VW bug feel to it, but you can still get parts for them because they're still very popular in India. You just have to get your parts from India or China or places like that. And I've been looking at getting a gas tuk-tuk. They get pretty good gas mileage, which is what I really want to get out of this. I enjoy going down the back roads. I'm not kind of a front road kind of guy. Never have been. This situation with me living in Tucumcari and my job being at Cannon Air Force Base is really very good for what I kind of like to be doing, you know. And then when I get older and I don't want to use the silly thing anymore, I can convert it, or I can just, you know, use it for when the kids come around and visit. Street legal. You can take it on roads. And you can get one that's kind of sealed up too, as opposed to kind of the open air ones. But the open air ones make a lot of sense for when it's hot out here. It gets hot. We've had weeks and weeks this year in the hundreds, and it'd be really nice for that. Some of them are a little better, and they have actual heaters attached to the motors so that you can heat up your motor. You know, it ends up being a motor and then kind of a cheap electrical generator, and you can get these little guys, and you license it and insure it as a motorcycle, which is cheap. So these are some of the things I'm working on right now. I talk about them on Opus on my way to work. I could go back to talking about religious things. I'm not exactly sure. I really love the name Cohen Meander, and I hate losing it. I may call the other stuff Early Cohen Meander, or, you know, I should probably put this stuff together kind of packets. I don't need my lights on anymore. You know, Cohen Meanderer, the Amarillo recordings. Cohen Meanderer, not take off labeling things I already have. I was doing a podcast called the Life Autistic Once Upon a Time, and that was pretty fun. Shit, but you know, whatever. I'm now at Ranchvale. The old school is here. What time is it? It's 7:17. I'm really early. But to be honest, I don't really have anything to do particularly. Get some peanuts here. So it really does only take about an hour and 20 minutes to get here. I left just slightly after 6. So it really only takes about an hour. Oh. Yeah, see, I've been recording for an hour and 4 minutes. That's a pretty good time. So the travel back and forth from home to my semi-retirement moneymaker. Lisa and I have been wondering what we're going to do with the money we're going to be making off this, because I really want us to live off of our pension money as much as possible, except for maybe the occasional big ticket item that would come out of savings. I've gotten some of my retirement stuff. I've got a little bit in 401ks, a little bit in Roth 401ks. We put $5,000 into Series I bonds. Lisa just invested. This is Lisa's investment. Although I put her on to it and said, is that okay? And she's just like, oh, okay. She's really nervous. She hates losing anything. So everything that we invest in is really conservative. This is probably the most dangerous thing we've invested in. It's called Liquid Piston. And they've got a little motor, and I think this motor gets most of its use right now in drones. Not the cute little ones that big kids play with doing helicopter shots with their cameras. It's not like that. It's the type that militaries tend to use. So it's a really small engine. Runs on all kinds of different fuel, and we've already gotten various government grants, military grants usually, to expand their ability to do this, and we've invested in that. There's also real estate investment things, but I really don't like the ultimate end game of these things. I don't like them. Because those are like buying up houses and apartment buildings and commercial properties and then renting them. And you are one of the investors in these rentals to make them possible. And it's like, I just don't, I want people to buy their own houses. I don't want people to be constantly renting giving it up to the man. That bothers me. Anyway, so even though those are doing quite well, I'm not really, I might ultimately do it, just because the money is good. I don't consider it particularly a sin stock, but maybe. I don't know. Regardless, there's plenty of other investments in the world besides ones that hurt people. I'm gonna go down here. I don't need to be on the flight line. Okay, we're coming up to the front gate. Say hi to everybody up here. So yeah, do I always have a lot of things going? I suppose I do. But yeah, I just get a kick out of Synchronet. Who do I give it to? Or? Okay, thank you. Good morning. I'm doing just fine, thank you. You too, thanks. Yeah, I still think I'm feels like I'm burning tire. I catch a whiff of myself. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I don't just want to, I mean, these things cost $50 a piece for these tires. And I'm really not very interested in just replacing them because they're getting torn up. That doesn't excite me. So I think what I'll do is I'll probably take this tire off. You know, this is probably something I need to take care of today. Tonight, at least just to get a sense for it, to see how it's been rubbed and how that's going. And you know, and just kind of get a sense for it and what I'm going to do, child development. I remember the first job I had out here was at the old child development center. I think the old child development center's since been torn down and replaced with something else. And anyway, so. Well, I barely used any gas at all. Amazing. But that's why this car is so great. It gets really good gas mileage. Well, it gets the best gas mileage you can get from a car. I don't really want a motorcycle, so I'm looking at kind of my different options. And the most of them are three-wheeler things, which are technically motorcycles. And you get one of those. So the tricky part is with these tuk-tuks is that there isn't any competition on it being a, you know, I don't know how insurable it ends up being. That's neither here nor there. Now here's a guy that's like me. He's got a little Fiat 500, which I don't think they still make, or they still don't market here. People in America don't do efficient little cars. They don't like them. Lisa's car does really pretty good, though. It does better than her old Jeep. So I'm kind of a fan of the old Jeep. So anyway, yeah, here I am. I tend to park kind of away from my building, or at least the temporary building where I am now. I don't know where they're actually going to house me. This is still kind of temporary, I think. I sit in a break room and wait for, I don't know what I wait for. Anyway. The weather's getting nicer. This is great. And so I'm just, I don't know. Anyway. So yeah, I think I'm tempted to start renaming classifications of recordings as I put them out there. I'm going to probably continue to run my regular Gopher server. I might put it off to the side so that you know, other people, because there's more space in other places, and I think I might move it off and run it in someplace else. Although I went through a lot of pain in the butt to get it running where it is, it's tempting just to keep it running where it is. However, we'll just have to see how that goes. I've got more storage space in other places, and I'd much rather use that. Anyway, so, you know, to kind of do the recordings by where I was traveling or what job I had, because it was usually tied to travel, commuting. Well, sometimes it was travel. The first job I had that I did this a lot was with New Mexico State University, and it was very much, traveling traveling for work. Now most of the travel I do is tied to commuting to the job and back. So, you know, you have to take that into account too. You can have the ACs period, and then the I don't know what to call, see, the stuff for I just call it the crash site period, because I would often record while I was going to and from the crash site, and then sometimes I would record while I was going from the crash site to my job location. That's a period. And then my short Amarillo period, which didn't last but 6 months, which is where Cohen Meanderer started. And then after that, just now I'm going to Canon. I don't remember. Well, no, I can't say that. Maybe I did do recordings after at other times. Anyway, I'm here early enough that I can just fart around here, because, you know, it's easier to fart around out here in the parking lot before 8 o'clock, which is when I'm supposed to be kind of doing stuff. I don't know. I have to be very kind to people who do this stuff as their life, you know, and it comprises a big part of their life. And I'm a guy that says, you know what, I do this and then I go home. This isn't, it's okay, you guys can call me when things go batty, but I don't think that things are go batty necessarily, you know. Although it looks like I'm going to be able to do a lot of interesting stuff. There's going to be some travel involved with this, perhaps. It sounds like a lot of people travel. And I'm like going, ooh, I hope that comes up. I think I mostly do it attached to these squadrons here. So we'll just have to see how that goes. Anyway, so I'm getting a lot of red. I don't know what these red bars represent. I don't know if I care enough to do that. Regardless, it tends to happen at the end of recordings as opposed to at the beginning, which I find funny. But there we go. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.